Penguin Random House Audio presents Miriam, a Treasures of the Nile novel by Misu Andrews. Read for you by Robin Miles. To Mary Cooley, my feisty 86-year-old mama, a woman with Miriam's strength, faith, and passion. Note to reader. Research for both the Pharaoh's Daughter and Miriam sent me into a different world. Historians and archaeologists disagree on many things about Egypt, but on one thing they're utterly united. Ancient Egypt was unique, unlike any other nation on earth. Egyptians recorded their distinctiveness. They flaunted it, lauded it, and guarded it, until the Ramessid kings came to power. The Ramessid kings were warriors, explorers, and builders who expanded Egypt's borders, brought the outside world in, and caused Egypt to lose a portion of its distinctiveness. However, under the Ramessids' new kingdom, trade flourished and building projects surged, meaning the need for laborers in Egypt's Nile Delta increased a hundredfold. So they put slave masters over the Israelites to oppress them with forced labor, and they built Pithom and Ramesses as store cities for Pharaoh. But the more they were oppressed, the more they multiplied and spread. So the Egyptians came to dread the Israelites and worked them ruthlessly. They made their lives bitter with harsh labor in brick and mortar and with all kinds of work in the fields. In all their harsh labor, the Egyptians worked them ruthlessly. Exodus, chapter 1, verses 11 through 14. Bible stories mean so much more when we understand the culture and political climate in which the characters lived. I pray that as Miriam's story unfolds, you'll be driven back to God's word to discover the truth behind the fiction. Prologue. When there is a prophet among you, I, the Lord, reveal myself to them in visions. I speak to them in dreams. Numbers, chapter 12, verse 6. I am Miriam, old, but of use. I am a slave, a midwife, a healer with herbs. This is what I do. But El Shaddai makes me who I am. The Hebrews call me prophetess, the Egyptians a seer. But I am neither. I am simply a watcher of Israel and the messenger of El Shaddai. When he speaks to me in dreams, I interpret. When he whispers a melody, I sing. During my 86 inundations, his presence has swelled within me like the Nile's waters, quenching my thirst, meeting every need. No relationship imprisons me. No task consumes me. No despair conquers me. I'm his alone, free to love others as he loves me. But as I dab my parents' brows, creeping dread crawls up my arms like a living thing. Last night's dreams have shaken our divine union. El Shaddai, your messages have always been so clear. Why not give the meaning with the dreams? I know they portend death, but whose? Fear coils around my heart like a serpent. Please don't take my parents, Shaddai. A ridiculous request, I know. Abba Amram has seen 137 inundations, and Ema Jochebed 109. They are the wonder of the tribe of Levi. And even the Egyptians whisper rumors of a slave couple favored by the gods. Abba's chest rises and falls with shallow breaths. Ema snores quietly. My heart will break when I must say goodbye. A flash of light, and my mind grows dark. Until Shaddai shows me a single soldier walking toward me. It's Eliezer. Last night's dream creatures dance around him, taunting, but he can't see them. My nephew walks quickly, calling my name. As suddenly as it came, the vision is gone. Abba and Ima sleep peacefully while I lean into the constant presence of my Shaddai. Eliezer will arrive soon with our morning rations, but now I know last night's dreams have something to do with him. Thank you, my Shaddai, for your tender consolation. For though the evil creatures tested and taunted, they could not destroy him. But I know there's more to the dreams than that. Show me, Shaddai. Show me more. A warm breeze stirs the stifling air within our mud brick house, and I know it's El Shaddai. All right, I'll try to be patient. Newfound peace grapples with niggling angst. I'll sing. Singing always soothes me, lifts me, transports me deeper into his presence. The tune is the same. Haunting, groaning, yearning. But something changes. The breeze dies. A strange chill races up my spine. I hum a familiar melody, waiting for new words of praise that never come. Like the dream, without a message. Heart racing, eyes burning, my soul cries out, El Shaddai, are you there? Silence. I look out our window. The sun still shines, the birds still sing. But a chill breeze stirs in the hot sun. And I know. Change is coming. Change is here. Part 1. The Lord said to Moses, "When you return to Egypt, see that you perform before Pharaoh all the wonders I have given you the power to do. But I will harden his heart, so that he will not let the people go." Exodus chapter 4, verse 21. Chapter 1. The Egyptians made the Israelites' lives bitter with harsh labor in brick and mortar, and with all kinds of work in the fields. In all their harsh labor, the Egyptians worked them ruthlessly. Exodus chapter 1, verse 14. Dawn's haze barely glowed over the eastern hills when the first injured slave leaned against Miriam's doorframe and peered around her curtain. "I've come from the plateau mud pits and have no way to pay you. Will you tend my wounds?" He averted his eyes, drew a breath, and held it. Was he waiting for rejection? "Yes, yes, come in." Miriam rocked to her feet and hurried to welcome him before his courage failed. He stepped over the threshold, but hesitated after two steps onto her packed dirt floor. "Others told me Israel's prophetess offered care for free, but I didn't believe it." Miriam guided him to her sleeping mat, inspecting his wounds on the way. Besides the obvious cuts and bruises on his face, he bore deep whipping wounds on his mud-caked back.
"I'm certainly not opposed to payment, but I can't turn away a child of Abraham in need."
He laughed without humor.
"Well then, you'll likely meet several of Abraham's children today. The temperature is rising quickly, and the slave master's tempers rise with it."
Miriam eased him down on her mat, giving him only partial attention, while she listened for El Shaddai's guidance on proper treatment.
"Shaddai, you know I can't minister to your people without your instruction."
She'd been trained as a midwife by her friend Shifra, but treating injuries and wounds had come through years of experience and revelations from God, who alone knew the intricacies of the human body. The man must have noted her hesitation and pointed to his left side.
I think my rib...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?